This is part B of additional details on Pentecost and the first resurrection. And we are getting a clearer view of the whole last three and a half year time frame. We just finished in Revelation 13 how the beast power, verse 7, was given power to make war against the saints. That's the martyrdom. To overcome them, given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Verse 8, now Revelation 13, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. In other words, God says, if you really listen carefully and with God's Spirit, then you can understand. That's what he's saying with this. But otherwise, you better listen. When God says, he who has an ear, let him hear, that means if you have heard it, you're responsible for it. Now, let's come back and see how that ties in with chapter 12. And we will put these together, kind of in a parallel. Verse 13 of chapter 12. No, verse 12. We'll go back there. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. Woe to those who inhabit the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Question. How long is a short time? We'll see. We already have the time of 42 months from chapter 13 and verse 5. So how much longer than 42 months is a short time? Let's read on. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. So there's a time of persecution. How long will be the time of persecution? The time of persecution is to what? Find out where all them there Christians are. The enemies of the state. Now notice there's going to be another event that takes place, and this is not the rapture. There is no such thing as the rapture. These things are not going to be done secretly. These things are going to be done openly, and so the events are going to be well known. And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman, sign of protection, so that she might fly. Now, how are they going to fly to her place in the wilderness? Now, the wilderness does not tell us where it is. And as I've said all through my ministry, that if you think it's Petra, and it's not, then you'll find out where it is when you arrive, if you go. And if you think it's Petra and you don't go, you will never know, because you're going to lose your head. So let's read it. Where she is nourished for times, times and a half a time, 3.5 years again, 42 months is 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Now, how are they going to get there? We'll see this in just a minute. This is different than the resurrection. Although it may, in outward appearance, be very similar, because we will see it will be the angels who will take whoever is going to a place of safety, the angels will take them there. You're not going to fly there to 747. You are not going to drive there in a car. You are not going to wait for a phone call from the minister to say, time to flee, you got your Petra bag ready? And a lot of them used to keep them in their cars when they went to Sabbath services, but they forgot the scripture which says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. So taking a Petra box in your car to Sabbath service was a futile thing, but it showed one thing. What were these people seeking? a place of safety to save their physical necks. What did Jesus say we need to seek first? A place of safety or the kingdom of God? See? So there we have 3.5 years. Now, as they're getting to the place where they're going to be, and we'll see how they get there in a little bit, the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And that's not a flood of false doctrine, as some people have tried to say. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up all the false doctrines. No, swallowed up the river that the devil had cast out of his mouth. Then the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed. Now that ties right in here with verse 7 of Revelation 13. Verse 17 of Revelation 12 and verse 7 of Revelation 13 tie together. Went to make war with the rest of her seed, now notice, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give a sermon next week on what is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you know what it is? Now, this gives us a time frame, doesn't it? And this is just before the second seal opens. Because when this takes place, then there's war against the saints, but you don't go just after the saints. You go after all of your other enemies. Just like in World War II, what did the Nazis do? They went into Poland, killed a lot of Polish people, but what was their goal? Get all the Jews. So when war is declared, that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to get all those Christians while we kill a lot of other enemies we don't like at the same time. Now let's come back to Luke 17. Now you probably have some notes in your old Bible, but your new Bible, you might not have notes in it. But here it tells us some very important things concerning how they go to a place of safety. And in the new Bible, this is page 1042. Luke 17, and let's pick it up here in verse 20. Now this sounds an awful lot like the resurrection, but it's not. Because you see, the resurrection takes place when? At the seventh trump, during the final phases of war on earth. Now, the circumstances that we will see here are not in time of war. So this takes place before. This ties in with the first part of Revelation 12, where the woman is given the wings of a great eagle. And isn't it interesting where Jesus said, wherever the eagles are gathered, there will the carcass be, or there will the body be. So in this case, the angels will be likened unto eagles. And what does one of the cherubim that oversees the throne of God, what does it look like? An eagle. And didn't God say of the children of Israel that he brought them into the wilderness on eagle's wings? No, they walked. Now, wherever the place of safety is going to be, it's going to be too far to walk. And hitchhiking in those days will be very dangerous. And you might not be able to get a plane ticket or a boat ticket. And no one is going to let you go because they will see, aha, here's one of those enemies that doesn't have the mark of the beast. And the authorities will be right there to arrest you. So it has to be done, as we'll see, by the angels. Now let's pick it up here in verse 20, Luke 17. Now when the Pharisees demanded of him when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Now that's kind of funny, isn't it? He's talking about himself in this case, because when the kingdom of God is coming, every eye is going to see it, right? But what he's saying here, the kingdom of God does not come because you are observing things to perceive when it arrives. Verse 21, neither shall you say, behold, it is here, or behold, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is standing in the middle of you. And wasn't he the king of the kingdom? And does not a king symbolize a kingdom? Daniel 2, Daniel 7, correct? So he's using the interpretation of the Bible on himself. He's standing in the midst of you. But the Protestants believe that this is, in the midst of you. So they say, the kingdom of God is in your heart. So this is the correct translation. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. That can refer either to his ministry, can also refer to the days leading up to his coming, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, look here and look there. Do not go, neither follow them. For as the light of day, whose light shines from one end of heaven to the other end under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now then, he comes back, and this is very interesting. This is why you have to rightly divide the Word of God. What happens next? Here he's talking about his literal beginning of his literal return to the earth in verse 24. Then verse 25, what does he say? Back to the present time. But first it is necessary for him to suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So here's where we need to pay close attention to what Jesus is saying. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, and that is a loaded phrase, by the way. They may have lived a whole lot longer, but we are catching up on the knowledge through computers to make it as if we live longer than we actually do in the accumulation of knowledge. But who is to say they didn't have computers before the flood? Let's read on. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, notice, the days can include the whole 3.5-year period plus what? Plus the time of persecution and the part of the church that is taken to a place of safety and from there on to the end. So you have days of the Son of Man. Verse 24. They were at McDonald's and the pub. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and being given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now the flood took how long? 40 days. 40 nights. The windows of heaven opened. Did God bring some of the ice meteors, as it were, close to the earth and melt them, add water, broke up the fountain of the deep? How much water is under the earth? We don't know. And if you break up the fountains of the deep and you sink the continents, you're going to cover it by 15 cubits exactly as the Bible says. That's a scientific fact. And destroyed them all. Now here's another comparison. As it was in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. Good economics, right? What is the thing that we stress today? The economy. What is it based upon? Construction, housing, food, harvest of crops, buying and selling of food. So that's all part of it there. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, It rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Now, you have it up here, verse 28. No, let's come back here to verse 26. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so that's the time leading up to it. And then you have verse 27, until the day that Noah went into the ark. Verse 28, and it was the same way in the days of Lot. So we're talking about periods of time here, correct? But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Is it going to be fire and sulfur coming down? No, it's not going to be. What is it as they were doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling. That's how the society is going to be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. And when is the Son of Man revealed according to Revelation 12? When Satan is cast down. That's the beginning of it. Then we have a greater revelation when we come to the sixth seal. Now, we'll talk about that again. But what I want to do is get the timing down so we understand it and not have the confusion. Because what we are going to read next does not show war, does not show persecution. It shows a time before there is war, and probably just some persecution beginning to start, because notice the activity. Let the one who is, verse 31, let the one who is on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not come down to take them away, and likewise let not the one who is in the field return to the things behind. So this shows that there is going to be, all of a sudden, bam, there is going to be war that is going to come. It sounds like things will be good along with all the evil that is still here in the society. You ask about buying and selling. What if Israel is in captivity at that time? Well, let's look at the war in Iraq. Did they receive a lot of bombs? Tanks, planes, killing, shooting, armies. Have they had, you know, roadside bombings and all of these things and executions going on? Yes. In the middle of war. But what have they all? What have they also had? Buying, selling, limited, semi-normal activity. So, the description here, that's a good question. What does it mean, buying and selling? Now, what we covered in Revelation 6 about the first four seals also fits into this too, see. So, I would say this is the time just before the second seal and the declaration of war by the beast power, because that's when they're going to a place of safety, not before then. You know, all of the nations involved in World War II were either bombing or being bombed, and they had to go out and buy and sell and do things. It was harder to do, you know, obviously. But still, in order to survive, you have to have some activities take place where you can eat, where you can drink, where you can sleep. Now, it might not be very pleasant conditions, but at least if you have a hunk of bread and a drink of water, you're going to survive another day. So let's read on here. So this is a time before great disastrous war. All right? So when it comes time, you don't leave anything behind. Now, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Verse 33, whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now we come to something entirely different, which ties in with verse 29, on the day that Lot went out from Sodom. That was before the disaster occurred. I tell you, in that night, now this is different than verse 31, 32 and 30, well, 33 applies all the way through. Verse 34, let's read it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two in bed, one shall be taken, the other left. So this is normal activity. Now the King James says two men in bed, but that only happens in San Francisco and other places like that. So should be translated two in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. Now this is in the night. Now notice verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together. Now when do you grind flour? Do you do it at midnight? No, you don't do it at night. When do you generally grind flour? As soon as you can after sunrise in the early morning. Because in the heat of the day, you don't want to be grinding flour because sometimes the chaff of the wheat can even explode in hot temperatures. So you want to get it all ground into flour, and so there will be two grinding together. One shall be taken, and the other shall be left. How are they taken? All right, we'll answer that in just a minute. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Now that's different from when it says, the one who's in the field, don't go back. So the one who's in the field, don't go back, is different than two men are in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered, saying to him, now this is mysterious, where, Lord? And he said to them, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now with that, you know exactly where the place of safety is. I'm being facetious, because you don't. And besides, the king of Jordan right now is not too hot on having people from the Church of God going over there trying to lease Petra from the state of Jordan. Now, if it's Petra and you get there, you will know. Question is, what does it mean, taken? We have here verse 29. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, how were they taken out of Sodom? The angels took them. In that case, they walked. They didn't have very far to go. In this case, if there's a way to go, then you are going to be carried by the angel to wherever the place of safety will be, and it will be much like Enoch or Elijah. They were taken up into the first heaven. They didn't go to the throne of God. And they were both taken away. Now, Revelation 12 tells us where they were taken. Luke 17 tells us the conditions under which they will be taken. And so these are pretty normal conditions. Sleeping, grinding, working in the field. So this has to be just before the war. This has nothing to do with the literal day that Christ comes to the earth. This is right at the 3.5-year period before the completed second return of Jesus Christ. Now, when that takes place, will the world know of it? Probably will. There'll probably be reports. Christiane Amanpour, she will probably give the report something like this. The authorities have reported that when they've come around to arrest some of these people, some of them disappeared in the night. And some of them were taken away right early in the morning. And others were scooped up right out of the field. And we have some witnesses that saw that. What did you see? Well, I saw that they just up and left. I don't know if God is going to let them see the angel or not. So maybe it's kind of like, there they go away. And then somewhere, wherever the place of safety is, if there's another news agency over there, they're going to say a strange phenomenon has occurred out here in the wilderness. We are getting reports from the local people that all of a sudden there's a great influx of people that just seem to be dropping out of the sky. And the authorities have come here and the armies have come and they haven't been able to get them because all of a sudden out of the earth comes great rivers of water. So the commanding general has given up on this, and now in his anger, he has instructions from the world leader who says, go get the rest of them and kill them. Now to me, that makes more sense than anything else, because it would have to be something like that. And the reason, if you get to a place of safety, you don't have to take a suitcase with you, you don't have to take a Petri box with you, because God will probably feed those who go on manna. He will provide water out of a rock, and your clothes will not wear out, nor will your shoes. Did that happen previously? Yes, during the Exodus. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Yes, it will be like the, you know, the raiding aliens, body snatching. See, now we'll get into the asteroid here in a little bit. But almost every movie on the end time, or the end of the age, you know, collision of the two worlds and all of this sort of thing, what do they have? Aliens invading. And Independence Day was the one that showed it most graphically the best. All the nations of the world in a phenomenal display of cooperation have all gathered together and they have all the same communication and they are fighting this invasion from outer space which destroyed the capital city of America. Be the same way. So the end time events are going to be fantastic, heaven shaking, earth shaking, the whole world is going to know it. So now, all of you belated Protestants who believe in a secret rapture, which won't happen, you're the ones who are going to be left behind. And the authors of the book, Left Behind, will be left behind. Only those that God chooses out of those that are His, and it's going to be a small portion of those who are true Christians who are going to go to a place of safety. The rest are going to have to give their lives as a witness against the satanic evil system at the end. So that's just where it's going to be. And just because you belong to a Protestant church and your minister tells you every Sunday, oh, if you accept the Lord in your heart, you are going to be raptured away when the secret voice of the Lord, which only those who have the Lord in their heart will hear, isn't going to happen. That's a satanic lie. There is a place of safety for a few of the chosen ones that God Himself is going to personally select. It's not going to be selected by the minister standing up there Sunday morning or Sabbath morning saying, give your heart to the Lord and you will be in the secret rapture. That's why the sermon I did on the secret rapture is called the Ruptured Rapture. See? It will not take place. Now, that we have that time setting, let's come to Luke 21, and let's look at the things in Luke 21 that says that are going to be happening. Just a few pages over, since we're in Luke 17. Luke 21. And I just imagine that at the resurrection, those going clear back to Abel, I wonder what Abel's going to think when he's on the sea of glass. And here are all of these that have been resurrected in the first resurrection. We're all standing on the sea of glass. We all have a new body, all have a new mind. We all speak one language, because with the new creation, we'll have the new language implanted into our new minds by God at the transformation. Okay? And we're going to be looking down at the earth and seeing all these things that are going on there. And I imagine Abel is going to say, how did this happen? And Noah's going to come over and say, well now, Abe, this was very similar to our day. And Lot is going to come over and say, yeah, I got away by the skin of my teeth. And my two daughters were the first Laodiceans on earth. Okay. And the apostles who wrote these things are going to say, we had never imagined that it would be like this. So it's going to be quite an event, see. Now we'll talk a little bit more about the sea of glass a little later, but let's talk about the events here in Luke 21 leading up to that time. Verse 5, Luke 21. And while some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and consecrated gifts, he said, as for these things that you now see, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, just to interject something here, very important to understand. This one verse, if the Jews would read it and understand it, would tell you that where the Mosque of Omar is not where the temple was. Just ask some question. Are there stones standing on top of one another where the Mosque of Omar is? Yes. Where do the Jews go to pray? They go to pray at the Wailing Wall on the west side, don't they? Yes. What do they do with the little prayers that they write? They stick them in between the rocks that are stacked, which constitute the old wall of Fort Antonio. And the reason that those rocks are exposed is because all the rocks to the west and south of that were all torn down, just like Jesus said. They are not there. That's why the temple will not be built on the place of the Mosque of Omar. Now, if you want to know where the temple will be rebuilt, read it in the appendix of the New Testament. That shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign that these things are about to take place? I mean, this is pretty disastrous. We want it all. And he said to them, beware that you be not deceived. Everybody pay attention to that verse, because how many in the church of God has been deceived? Says there that where we started in Revelation 12, that Satan's deceiving the whole world, right? And why are false prophets coming into the church and those originating within the church that Satan raises up to deceive the elect? So he says, beware that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am the Christ. The time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. Now that just happened with Ron Wyland, who said his wife and he were the two witnesses. But everything he prophesied would happen during the days of unleavened bread and up to Pentecost have not happened. Yet he said a year ago, when he was on these radio programs being interviewed by some fairly famous radio broadcasters and talk show hosts, he said, if these things don't come to pass, then I'm a false prophet. So he put out an email here recently that He said that he would have to declare himself a false prophet if these things didn't happen by Pentecost. Well, no, maybe we better make it out to July. So what's going on? You know, people in the church followed him. Just like lemmings. Why? Because they want to follow man instead of Christ. So Christ is going to send a man you can follow. And you want to believe false doctrine so you can be important. God will let you believe false doctrine so you can be important. Just don't go after them. Verse 9. And when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be terrified. We hear that right now? Yes, all the time. From that time till this. For it is necessary that these things take place first, but the end will not come immediately. And he didn't tell them, well, now hold on, gang, because it's going to be about 2,000 years before it happens. If he had said that, just think what Peter would have said, because even when things didn't work out the way that he wanted them to work out after the resurrection of Christ and he had seen Christ, he said, I'm going fishing. Think what it would have happened if Jesus would have told him, 2,000 years, you got to wait. But you go out and work hard. And you go out and be zealous. See? Well, you know how human nature is. When do you go to the store to buy something? When your cupboard is full of it or when it's nearly empty? That would be the same way that they would respond. So he says, not immediately. They had a type of it when the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., Then he said to them, nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in different places. Have we had them this year? Yes, indeed. Just one day before yesterday in Japan. 7.6 on the Richter scale. Didn't get any pictures of any of it yet. I haven't seen it on television because Tim Russert died. And he is so important that that had to occupy all of the channels for a day and a half about his life. See? Well, this is more important. Earthquakes in different places and famines. Do we have them today? Yes. Pestilence. Do we have it today? What is AIDS? Pestilence. What are the sicknesses that we have? Pestilence. And there shall be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Hey, that hasn't happened yet. But it's going to. But before these things, they shall lay their hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. So that could happen from that time right all the way down till now. Was Paul brought before kings? Yes. Were the apostles brought before the Sanhedrin? Yes. Were they beaten in the synagogue? Yes. Were they kicked out of the synagogues? Yes. Verse 13, but it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle therefore in your hearts not to premeditate what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom that all those who are opposing you shall not be able to reply nor resist. But you shall be delivered up even by parents. Don't we have that today? An ominous tip? You can turn in anyone. You don't have to let anyone know who you are. Be delivered up by parents and brothers and relatives and friends and shall put some of you to death, and you shall be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head shall by any means perish, but in your patient endurance you shall gain your lives. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, then know that the desolation, her desolation has drawn near. That's 70 A.D. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains, let those within her go out, and let not those in the countries come into her, for these are the days of vengeance, so that all things that have been written may be accomplished. Now, we'll end here because I'm beginning to run out of time, and we'll pick it up here next time. But you have a fulfillment during 70 A.D. as a type of fulfillment, then you have at the end time a repeat of it for the things at the end. So that's why we're going to see a temple built in Jerusalem. And if you have a computer, I'll mention it again. Go online and look up the Temple Institution, and they have books, they have pictures, they have all kinds of things ready to go. And they are now doing DNA tests to find out who the Kohans or the descendants of the priest among the Jews really are. So they're getting ready. They have the priests, the high priest robes ready to go. They have the bowls to catch the blood for the offerings ready to go. They have the cornerstone for the temple ready to go. They have the lots for the selecting of the goat for the Lord and the goat for Azazel ready to go. So go online and look it up. I think you will be amazed. And then read the appendix in the New Testament, which tells you where the temple will be. Now, that was written by Ernest Martin, and of course the Jews, they won't accept anything written by a Gentile. But what they do is this. They send one of their trusty rabbis to secretly check it out, and then he writes a book as if it's brand new. Because they couldn't admit that a Gentile would tell them where the temple is going to be built. After all, we Jews know everything. See? So, anyway, there's lots of exciting things to happen, so if you can endure through the economic trauma we're going through, then we'll see a lot of these things happen. Out of time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.